for our Christmas series, as we go on a journey in Preparavior, each sermon will focus on a popular Christmas hymn. We'll look at A Journey of Longing, Come Thou Long-Expected Jesus, A Journey of Searching, What Child Is This, A Journey of Humility, O Little Town of Bethlehem, A Journey of Joy, O Come All Ye Faithful, and A Journey of Celebration, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of A Journey of Longing from our series, A Journey. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of A Journey of Longing.
We're going to have a wonderful counselor that will sit on the throne. And I know sometimes my wife and I will sit and we'll talk and we'll look at all the issues that are going on in the world. And our thing is, man, Lord, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus. We need you, Lord Jesus. This world needs you. People killing one another. People robbing one another. People getting over on one another. We need a righteous king. We need an incomprehensible counselor who will guide us in the truth and the ways of God. He's a wonder of a counselor when he sits on the throne, right? There won't be any Senate getting together to debate what laws to pass. There will not be a House of Representatives that comes together and tries to figure out what the laws are going to be. But he will rule and reign with a rod of iron. And he will be a wonder of a counselor. But you know what? That's the millennial. That's then. I need something right now. And when you think about Jesus, when he came, you know what Jesus preached more than the gospel? Because the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, was not complete until he died, buried, and rose again. You know what Jesus preached more than anything else while he was here? What did he preach? He preached the kingdom. He preached the kingdom of God. And when Jesus is on the throne of your heart, you are in the kingdom of God. And in his kingdom, he gives us guidance. He gives us direction. He is a king. Yeah, I see people counseling others, right? You watch television and you see sometimes people are giving counsel to one another. And while the person is telling the counselor their problem, the counselor starts doing one of these numbers. Right? Thank God that we have a counselor who can be trusted to listen to our problems. We have a counselor that all we need to do is to cry out, and we are citizens in his kingdom. And when we cry out to him, I preached the message from Psalm 121 one time. It says, I will lift my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The Lord is thy keeper. He is a shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord is thy keeper. He will keep thee. The Lord will not fall asleep on the job. In the title of the message, God will not nod on the job. And he is a counselor that's alert. He is a counselor that listens. He is a counselor that hears. And so tell him your problems. Somebody said, I'm going to have a little talk with Jesus. Well, you know what? Sometimes you can have a little talk with Jesus, and that's great. But sometimes I need a long talk with Jesus. I need a long talk with Jesus, right? And I got to tell him all about my problems. He'll hear your faintest cry. He will answer by and by. When you feel a little prayer will turn, and you know a little fire is burning. Just a little talk with Jesus. right? Just a little talk with the wonder of a counselor. A wonder of a counselor will make things right. Come thou, long expected Jesus. Well, Isaiah goes on to say that not only is he a wonderful counselor, but Isaiah brings out the point that he's also a mighty God. A mighty God. In this word, El Gabor, that word Gabor actually can mean strength or power, but it also means a hero, a mighty hero. That not only is he a wonderful counselor, but he is a mighty God who is a true hero. If you go to that next slide, please. The word El is the singular form of the word Elohim, and it represents the Almighty God. The word Gabor means strength, power, or hero. As king, Jesus is the almighty hero of his people, right? And so everybody is going to see the movie, right? Wakanda Forever, right? Everybody's going to see that, where there are, what, in this movie? There are heroes in this movie. There are people who rise up to defend the honor of their country. There are people that rise up to defend what is right. And so, when we talk about Jesus as being El Gabor, God, the mighty God, who is our hero, I made up a new sign, and that is El Gabor forever. Right? He is the hero. Right? We lift up the movie star. We lift up the athlete. We lift up the musician. We lift up all these other people. We make them heroes. When there's only one hero. There's only one true hero. And that's El Gabor. That's God, the mighty God. He is our hero. And so he is the one that is the almighty hero of the people. But how does that translate into kingdom? To us being, right now, we are in the kingdom of God. That the kingdom of God, Christ, you know, sets up his spiritual kingdom in our hearts. And if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are a part of the kingdom of God right now. How does that translate into the kingdom right now? Well, we see, first of all, that he is a hero who brings deliverance. He is a hero. What do most superheroes do, right? Now, we're talking about the good ones. We know there's some bad ones. But what do most good superheroes do? They deliver people when they're caught up in something, when they're trapped, when they've been captured, that the superhero comes in and rescues them. John 3:16 tells me about my hero. It said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. My hero, I was going down in the morass of sin, degradation, and filth. I was sinking. My head was just above water, and my hand was reaching up, and my hero came. And my hero reached down, and he grabbed me, and he pulled me up out of the muck and mire, and he set me on a solid rock to stay. That's my deliverer. Oh, I wish I could tell you about my deliverer today. My deliverer was the greatest man in history. He had no servants, yet they called him master. He had no degrees, yet they called him teacher. He had no medicine, yet they called him healer. He had no army, yet they feared him as a king. He won no military battles, but yet he conquered the world. He did not live in a castle, yet they called him Lord. He ruled the nations, and they called him king. He committed no crime, yet they crucified him. He was buried in a tomb, yet he lives today. I'm telling you, I'm talking about my hero today. My hero. My El Gabor. Come thou, long expected Jesus. That Wesley, when he wrote this hymn, this great Christmas hymn, that he was asking the Messiah to come and to take care of these orphans that he saw all over the place. He was asking the Messiah to come and heal the class divide. He was calling for a hero to come and take care of the situation. Not only is he a wonder of a counselor, not only is he a mighty God, but he's also an everlasting Father. An everlasting Father. The this word is Avi Adah, and that meant everlasting Father. He is a Father who will take care of his people throughout eternity. Somebody asked the question, isn't he the Son? How could he be identified as the Father? Well, again, we have to look at the language. And the language is not identifying his position as the second person in the Trinity. It's not identifying his position. It's talking about what he does. And that even though he is not the Father, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, he is the Son, but as the Son, he is an everlasting Father. And what does it mean to be an everlasting Father? In ancient times, it was the Father who was to protect and provide for his children. Christ will be a king, will be a father to his children. His role as protector and provider will not be limited by aging or by death. His role as a father will continue throughout all eternity. You know, you think of earthly fathers. You know, as I think of my father, and I remember him as being a worker in the steel mill, Edgar Thompson, one of the first black foremen in Edgar Thompson. My dad was bad boy, William C. Glaze, right? I'm William R. That was William C. But you know, when I think about how strong he was and how he went to work every day and how he protected and how he provided for his family, and then I had gone to college and went to seminary in Virginia, and my dad got sick. And I remember coming home and seeing my dad in a hospital bed and not able to do anything. Just lay there in that hospital bed. And you think about the fact that our earthly fathers, that at one time they were great providers, at one time they were great protectors. But my brothers and sisters, let me tell you, there's going to come a time for just about every earthly father when he will not be able to provide. Well, he will not be able to protect. But thank God, we have an everlasting Father who will always, he doesn't grow old, he doesn't get weak, he doesn't lose his ability to provide or protect, that it just gets better as time goes on. So, as an everlasting Father, he provides and protects us. And he will do this throughout all eternity. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come thou, long expected Jesus. Wow. Come thou, long expected Jesus. In Christ's spiritual kingdom, he is a protecting Father who provides, and he does not leave us as paternal fathers leave us, either by death or desertion. That he will always be there. He will always be providing. And that's why he said that I will never leave you nor forsake you. you can put your trust in the everlasting Father. In Psalm 27, it said, even when father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. The Lord will pick me up. And so, he is a wonder of a counselor. He is a hero, a mighty God. He is an everlasting Father. And then finally, Isaiah lets us know that he is a Prince of Peace. He is a Prince of Peace. The phrase Prince of Peace comes from the Hebrew Sa Shalom. And this is a high-ranking individual who removes anything that disturbs peace. Anything that disturbs peace, the Prince of Peace can remove it. Again, somebody might ask the question, why is he called a prince and not a king? Yo, shouldn't he be called the King of Peace? Well, again, when we look at this word Sar, the word prince, it could also mean ruler, leader, chief, captain, or head. So just because it's a prince, that don't diminish what he does at all. The fact that he's a prince means that he is the ruler of peace. He is the chief of peace. He is the captain of peace. He is the head of peace. I love it when we read in Isaiah 11, verses 6 through 8. To show you how powerful his peace will be on the earth. Look at this. How powerful his peace will be on this earth. It says, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid or the goat, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, and the cow shall and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox, and the child, a child that's nursing, a sucking child, shall play at the hole of a snake, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den, or vicious animal den. Look. When the Shah Shalom comes, when the Prince of Peace comes, he's going to take away the nature of aggression that's in the animals. You put a wolf and lamb together today, and you let them lie down together, and I guarantee you what you got is lamb chops. Why? Because the wolf has a vicious nature. The wolf has a fallen nature. But when the Prince of Peace comes, he will not only heal governments, but he'll also heal nature. Come thou, long expected Jesus. In this spiritual kingdom, the Shah Shalom, the Prince of Peace, what does he bring? He brings two things. First of all, he brings peace with God. I don't know about you, but for 20 years, I fought with God. For 20 years, I held my fist and shook it in God's face. And yet and still, he was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time. And one night, over in Turtle Creek, Pennsylvania, at a Baptist church up on the hill, I bowed my knee and I bowed my heart, and I made my peace with God. And I've had that peace ever since. That because of the Prince of Peace, I can have peace in my heart. And I remember, and I've shared this testimony time and time again, that oftentimes I would go to bed at night And I would pray that prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I had no idea what was going to happen to me when I died. Didn't have a calm assurance. Didn't have a peace in my heart that everything was all right. But that night, I made my peace with God. In Romans 5, verse 1 says, having made peace with God. Having made peace with God. And see, I think that's the problem with a lot of people in the world today. Why they're angry, why they are involved in deep immoral sin, because they haven't made their peace with God. Thank God that the Prince of Peace lives in our heart. And then I love Isaiah 26 and verse 3, and it says, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. That as long as we keep our eyes on the Lord, we can have peace. I told you the story about the ship that was headed to England, and a storm arose, and it was at night, and people got up out of their cabins, and they were all worried, and they were all concerned, and the captain's daughter was on the ship, and she finally woke up, and she saw all these people stirring about. And she said, what's going on? And they said, there's a great storm, and we're kind of concerned if we're going to make it or not. And she said, is my father at the helm? Is my father on deck? And somebody said, yes, he is. And the little girl went back in her cabin and went to sleep, because she realized that as long as the father was on deck, as long as the Father was in control, everything is going to be all right. I think when we get frazzled and we get razzled in life, when problems shake us and problems begin to toss us about by every storm that comes, I believe it's because we've taken our eyes off the captain. We haven't seen that the captain is still at the helm. People often ask me, hey, how are you doing? And I'll say, I'm doing all right as long as God is on the throne. Well, you know what? The fact of the matter is, there's never a time that he's not on the throne. So I'm always going to be all right. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on the Lord. Come thou, Jesus. Our hearts are longing for you. You know, I'm going to enjoy going through these Christmas hymns each week and looking at the background behind the hymn and how it applies. But what a powerful hymn that Wesley gave us. Come thou long expected Jesus, right? Christmas hymn. That when he came, that babe in the manger, he was the long expected Jesus. He was the one that they began to talk about in Genesis chapter 3 and preached about him throughout all the Old Testament. Come thou, long expected Jesus. And we have received him, and we are a part of his kingdom right now. But there is a sense in which we say, come thou, long expected Jesus, that we continue to look forward to him.
Thank you for joining us today on In Kirk and Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of A Journey of Searching from our series, A Journey. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, A Journey of Longing, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request A Journey of Longing. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request A Journey of Longing from our series, A Journey, or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, A Journey, is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, Visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for days in our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.